Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take a look at retirement. Maybe it's maybe you've just retired, or maybe you've been retired a little while. Maybe it wasn't what you expected. Maybe you're planning it for it right now. Well, I've got a couple of people to help you out today on the program, a couple of experts, Carol Larson and Mary Helen Conroy. Carol's a writer, an award-winning reporter, documentary producer. She is the co-creator of Retiree Rebels. They offer blogs and podcasts for the newly and nearly retired and aim to inspire and support retirees. Mary Helen Conroy also created Retiree Rebels. She's a reinvention life coach and change strategist. And, well, first, Carol, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us on, Larry.
And Mary Helen, who is, I mean, it's so, I'm sorry that you're in such a terrible position.
I am. Yeah.
You're in.
No sympathy for him,
Mary. Larry, I wish you could be here.
Where are you for the listeners?
Right now, I'm doing a little bit of the retirement dream. I am in Hawaii waiting for the sun to come up, and it is absolutely beautiful. And unfortunately, it is 80 degrees. And I know you've got snow, but I'm sending it towards you. I'm sending the warm weather towards you. Larry, I wish we could have done it here.
Well, I tell you what, you're not the only one.
I bet. But so good to be on with you, Larry.
Well, it's great to be on with you both. And Retiree Rebels, what's this rebel business all about?
Well, you have to be a little bit rebellious nowadays in order to have a successful retirement, because the old stereotype of retirement is that you're going to hit the rocking chair, play shuffleboard and lots of bridge. And that's not what the new baby boomers want to do. They're young retirees. They're mostly healthy. They're mostly active. They're going to have 10, 20, 30, maybe 40 more years ahead of them, and they want to do something with their lives. They may be going back to work. Maybe up to 80% of them may be going to work in a job of some kind, whether full-time or part-time. So it's a very different kind of retirement scenario than our parents had.
Yeah. And Mary, what led to Retiree Rebels?
Well, you know, Carol and I sat down for a cup of coffee. We both had the retirement kind of issues, the age group, life coach, documentary worker, and we said retirees really need to know a difference. And we encourage people to sit down and talk to each other and find out what they might like to do together. We came up with Retiree Rebels. It gives a website so that you can just click and point and listen to the issues, or you can be an iTunes geek and listen to it right in your car. So we wanted to get the message out that you're not alone. And we've got some really good information there, Larry, that we hope your listeners will test out at retireerebels.com.
Yeah, and we have a link on our Facebook page.
Oh,
that's the Larry Mueller Show. So people want to go there. But otherwise, what is the – it's retireerebels.com. Retireerebels.com. Well, what's the – and I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. I haven't even given the number yet. Maybe you've had some experiences with retirement. Struggles, successes, what have you had? Have you learned to cope with the kind of life changes that occur or happen after retirement? Love to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you, certainly. What's the worst kept secret of retirement, or is there a worst kept secret?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them, Larry, and I know Carol's got a whole bunch, too. But I think the biggest one, and it happened to me as well, and it's an emotional one, and it's called, oh, my goodness, the first cup of coffee after retirement was really great, but now what happens? It's that utter fear of having total time management for yourself, and mostly what scares me for a lot of retirees, Larry, is loneliness. There are 17 senior citizens every day that commit suicide from depression of retirement.
Oh.
That, to me, is something we need to start talking to each other. Now, Carol, I know, has another list of them. So, Carol,
what have you got for us, Carol?
Oh, I was completely a believer in the myth of one day you're working and the next day you're in this carefree, you know, happy, you know, environment. You know, I totally bought into the idea of the myth of bliss for retirement, and it wasn't that way. You can't just flip a switch. It's just not logical when you think about it. After, for me, it was 33 years of go, 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 adrenaline-fueled work, and then suddenly I was alone. We had what we thought was our dream home, 5 acres of land in the country, and my husband would go to work, and there I was by myself with the dog. The dog got walked so much because I didn't quite know what to do with myself. There's that unstructured time. I wasn't used to that. My time was, you know, in 15-minute increments for 33 years.
Yeah.
And there was the lack of social contact. You lose about either a third or a half of all your social contact when you retire.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't like your co-workers or didn't get along with them all that well, they're not in your life anymore.
Yeah.
And that's pretty quiet. So I had that sort of panic attack anxiety that was going on with what do I do with my time.
And so that kind of led to Rockin' Chair Rebels?
Ditch the rocking chair.
Retiree Rebels. I'm sorry. Retiree Rebels.
Well, I hadn't met Mary Helen at this time, but when people ask me, why in the world are you doing this? It's, to be quite honest, it's because I got mad. I finally decided what I wanted to do, and yet my friends and my family would look at me. It's like, oh, no, you don't want to become a writer. You don't want to start a business. You want to relax and, you know, sit in your rocking chair. I was being discouraged from following my new ambitions. And I realized it had nothing to do with whether or not I was capable, because I was quite capable of doing it. I've been a writer all of my life.
Well, sure.
But they wanted me to fit into that stereotype of the old retiree, the one that was done with what they were doing. And I wasn't done. And I got mad. And I started writing articles about this. And then somewhere along the line, a mutual friend of Mary Helen's and I, we were both members of an organization called Wisconsin Women Entrepreneurs. Great group. And this friend said, you know, there's another woman in this group that is as ticked off as you are about the way retirees are kept from their ambitions. And she introduced Mary Helen and I.
Well, I'm glad you two got together. And Lois and Edgerton has something relating to your podcast, so I want to go there. Lois, hi.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. What's on your mind?
Well, I've just been starting to listen to the podcast for Retiree Rebels, and they're terrific. And, you know, I'm a new retiree, and after 35 years actively in the business world, I'm like, okay, you know, where are the challenges now? You lose a sense of identity, and the question comes up, what next, what next, what next? Fully realizing there may be barriers. And the question I had for Mary Helen and Carol was, is that a pretty common feeling? And any suggested next steps?
Boy, yes, that is a common feeling. Because the one thing that happens with retirees is they think they know what's going to come next, or they think they have a plan.
Yeah.
But once you're retired and all of the stress and the demands on your time that are now gone from your work world, suddenly your head's an entirely different place.
You're right.
Lois, I'm not sure what you imagined, but one of the things I thought, and my family thought, my friends thought, I was going to be a master gardener. I was going to go out there and I was going to till up 5 acres of land. And the minute I retired, I was not interested in gardening anymore. And I've been a lifelong gardener. But I realized it was the balance to my work.
It feels like a huge transition, much better, bigger transition than most people would realize, I think. I thought I would just sit back and like, oh, I can read all the books I want. I can travel what I want. But it's like, no. So it's a bigger transition than I think I ever thought it would be.
Yeah.
Well, and Lois, I think you hit upon something else, too, about that transition and identity piece. It's very hard to switch off. All of a sudden, you're at a party, or you're even on a radio show, and somebody says, what do you do? And now you have to say, I'm retired. Now, most people anymore will not even use that word because it means, oh, my God, you're dead. So we try to figure out how to say I am retired, which mean, should mean wisdom, instead of please don't talk to me because now I'm dead and I don't know a thing. So I'm sure, Lois, that might have been one of your things, too. What do you say now when people ask you, what do you do?
I basically, to be honest,
mm-hmm.
I say, I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, what's so cool about your podcast is it offers a sense of community, offers a sense because we're all in our individual, you know, silos of retirement. And it's like, it's really nice to know that there are other people out there experiencing this, and it does sense, okay, I'm not alone.
Right.
That's very comforting.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you for retiree rebels. It's much needed.
Oh, I'm glad, Lois. And let me throw it in here. This is one of the things that I got mad at mm-hmm. when I was just starting my retirement. And I've been retired for 5 years now. And I asked a friend of mine who was in her 70s, why don't you say that you're retired? And she just became indignant. She said, because people look at me and they think three things. They think I'm old, they think I'm probably disabled, and they think I'm never going to do anything of consequence again in my life ever.
Mm.
And she was angry that people would look at her and think that. So she refused to use the word.
Right.
And I know Mary Helen refuses to use it. And I keep running into people who will not say that they're retired because of that stigma.
Oh. Well, what should people say if there is that stigma?
Well, I'm just
simply creating.
Yeah, I'm just coming around to trying to figure that out. Now I'm starting to say I'm self-employed and I'm a writer.
Right.
Because after 5 years, I give up. People just look at me and blink like, oh, you're retired. You're done. You have no life left in you. Well, that's not true anymore.
Well, and it's not true. Our age group for seniors in retirement, and I will use it since we're all together and it's a small group here, our retirement offers so many new opportunities. It allows people to try their passion, like Carol with her writing of her novel. But our age group is the largest demographic for starting new businesses, even uh-huh. over the millennials.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes,
because
1 in 4.
We've got the talent. We might have a little pocket of money that we can use or not, but we can get together and create new things. In a way that we can't. But it's also our age group of 55 and older that are not being traditionally employed.
True.
Well, yeah, for sure. And well, let's go back. And again, Lois, thank you. Your podcast, give us a sampling or give us some ideas about the kinds of things that your people can tune on to.
Well, we do 4 different kinds of podcasts on here. Mary Helen and I each have our opinions, so we each do separate mm-hmm. essays. Mary Helen, being a life coach and a lifelong educator, does quite a bit of inspirational talks and suggestions for what people can do. She just did one called How to Make Friends Over 50, which mm-hmm. I think is extremely valuable. Me, I get to do what I call the snarky commentaries.
She's the snarky one.
I'm the snarky one who gets to talk about ageism and the bias against people, you know, 55 and over, and how people think we're brain dead. And then Mary Helen came up with an idea called Kitchen Table Talks, where we take an issue and we sit down across the table from each other and we talk about the issues. For instance, we had probably the one that's listened to most often on our website is the one about the first year of retirement, which no one tells you is really difficult.
Yeah.
That's the rockiest time you can hit is that first year. And before I forget, I'll just mention the 4th kind of podcast is I'm starting to do interviews with people. We call them retiree rebels. In a couple of weeks, for instance, we're going to be posting an interview with Jerry Apps, who talks about creativity and age and how you get better at certain things as you get older.
The man has written 30 books since he retired
at
or
least.
More.
Right.
His life is, I mean, he's had 2 lives. He's had at least, I mean, he was a professor for 30 years and retired, and now he's, here he is in his 80s, but he's after he left the professorship, he started writing.
He's exemplary.
Well, he was started before that.
But. Yeah, he's always been a writer. But he's exemplary in that he's had, you know, a good deal of success and whatnot. But there's a lot of people out there who have worn so many different hats and have so much expertise. And I think you're getting a group of people, the baby boomers, who, like me, resent the fact that you have all of this experience and all of these skills developed, and then you hit a certain age barrier, and you're seen as not worth it anymore. You don't have anything worth, you know, that's valuable in the marketplace.
There are some companies, though, that actually zero in on, I'm told, that zero...
Yes, they are few, but there are some. And there's a lot of people who are now offering what's called bridge jobs or lateral moves within a company where the person will say, you know, I'd rather do this, or I'd like to cut down on my hours or something like that within. So that sort of brain drain doesn't happen within a company or an agency.
So quickly, yeah. And you have a chance to work with other people or new people coming in then, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Talking about... retirement, taking a closer look at it with our two guests, Carol Larson and Mary Helen Conroy. They have a great podcast, RetireeRebels.com. That's the place to go. But hey, here's the place to go right now. If you have a question or comment or experience to share of your own, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, The Larry Mehler Show. I'm Larry Mehler. Breanne Chesso, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Net. Thanks so much for listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we take a close look at retirement with our two guests, Mary Helen Conroy and Carol Larson. It was so wonderful to have them with us today. And just to let you know, coming up, we're going to have a special look at the state of Wisconsin and what's going on in the state with the editor of Our Wisconsin magazine. There's one. There's another guy who retired and then thought, you know what? I think I'll start I wonder if we could start a magazine. Got partnered in with somebody else, and now their subscription is over 100,000 in 2 years.
Wow.
So
that's impressive.
That is very impressive. So there's another guy that's done well with his quote-unquote retirement. Bob in Exonia has something for us. Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Larry. I can't tell you how much I enjoy retirement.
Oh, cool.
Wonderful.
I retired last July, and the joke between my wife and I is I was warned about retirement, guys calling and asking you for help, and I was given great advice, and that was to tell them no. And I explained to my wife, if anybody asks me, my flat cash rate is $30 an hour, and I expect to be paid every day. And she looked at me and said, no. You're working for me. I want that fourth bedroom turned into a walk-in closet, laundry room, and I want that kitchen remodeled. And I am just completing that walk-in closet in our bedroom, floors sanded, varnished, walls painted, furniture about to move in, and I'm loving it.
Great.
Excellent. Good for you, Bob. And I'd keep that rate sheet around, though, because when the bedroom's done, you may become one of those 1 in 4 retirees that becomes an entrepreneur who starts a business. And there's a lot of guys, thank goodness, who have become fix-it people because I need those people around.
I do, too, for that matter. Yeah, I'm not very good at it myself. So, Bob, you probably have a chance to do that down the road, especially if people come over and see what you've done and say, hey, could you help me with that? So there you go. Thanks a lot for calling. Mike in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
What have you got for us today?
Yeah, enjoy your show. It's I'm not even 40 yet, but it's my retirement show. All the wonderful programs you have, I add to the list of things I want to do once I have time. So I really enjoy it. But my mother just retired. My dad's semi-retired. And I'm kind of totally amazed and taken aback by all the great things. You know, I think of great men and women in my life. A lot of them, you know, were in that retirement age that, and I'm not just talking about volunteerism, because sometimes that's maybe what it's viewed as, like, oh, you don't have a job, you can do this for free now. But that still played a huge role, you know, in people's lives, whether, you know, it's just a small having a cup of coffee or, you know, really pouring into their church or their community. So I'm constantly amazed at hearing people say, oh, I can't wait till I'm retired and I don't have to do anything. And you have so much to offer our society that don't let it go to waste. So that was it.
Mike, thanks a lot for calling. And Mary Helen?
Yes.
Comment from you on that?
Well, I think Mike is absolutely correct, and I think a couple of the points that really rang true for me is that we're expected to do something, and I'm not sure what that do is. We spend a lot of time, and you can see this even on TV, that we spend a lot of time on financial planning for retirement. But the part we don't spend a lot of time on is what we're talking about here, which is the life planning part. And sitting down with other folks to say, what do you do? Kind of do the interview thing like you're doing here, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Finding out what it is that you've never done that you wanted to do, but giving yourself a chance to be a creator in your own life again, because we've been living for 30, 40 years with people telling us how to live in the box. And now all of a sudden the box lid is open and you go, oh, my God. So what is that going to be? So like the gentleman just said, what Mike said, do you want to volunteer? Do you not want to volunteer? Do you want to join a group? Do you want to do a meetup? Do you want to listen to a podcast? It's figuring those out for you, not for anybody else, but for you, that's what we hope that we can at least share some thoughts about on the podcast, Larry.
Yeah, and Carol, you were going to add something, too.
Well, I'll throw into it that I grew up in a very Scandinavian Protestant upbringing, small mm-hmm. town, and no one ever asked me, what makes you happy? That was just not part of the culture back mm-hmm. then. But now I get the chance to ask, what makes me happy? I'm happy to be a writer. And then when I retired, there were things that happened that I stumbled across that I didn't know would make me happy.
Carol.
Yeah, thanks. I didn't know I was going to do podcasting. But, for instance, I hadn't sung in a choir since I was in high school.
Oh.
I'm now a member of the Fitchburg Singers, and I wouldn't give that up for the world. And yes, I still work. Yes, I still write. I run a business. But retirement, the blessed part of it is that you get to do things that make you happy. And I love to sing. Oh, now she's teasing me about pickleball. I took a pickleball a couple of months ago. It's great fun. And boy, there's new retirees in the pickleball league, and they are scary, healthy, athletic. Oh, man. But it's great exercise.
Thinking about what makes you happy. Well, every day when I pick up my daughter from school, Emily, I say, what made you smile today? Instead of what? And so she talks about what made her smile. Every
day. You're a good dad.
And that's a good way. Well, it's a nice to think positive. You know, think about what makes you happy, what makes you smile.
Absolutely.
And that's when Mary Helen was talking about, you get a lot of this talk about financial planning, and that's necessary, but no one says, what is it that's going to make you happy and that you're going to do after retirement? And it's good to think about that.
Well, and what's really fun with retirement is it's not a 30-year commitment this time.
No.
Yeah.
You can be happy for a week. You know, those painting classes that are next to in the bars with the glass of wine?
Yeah.
If that makes you happy today, go for it.
Yeah.
But if it's taking a long walk, or if it's meeting a friend that's in, you know, North Dakota, then be happy for just a week. We don't have to think in the long terms anymore for retirement. And I think that's the creating your own life and choosing some really wonderful joy would at least get us better than just thinking that we're alone and that we're all alone. And, you know, that's the Pollyanna part. But if there is a piece to that, is to find out that happiness.
Bonnie in Maquantico couldn't stay with us, but called in to say she's a retired teacher. But when people ask her what she does, she always says, whatever I want.
Yeah.
She homeschools. She volunteers. She spends time with her grandchildren. She says people shouldn't be upset about admitting that they're retired. But she says, I do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm. Shouldn't be. But there is always that stigma that people will look at you and blink and equate retirement with old. And we really need to get over that.
Well, Burns and Oshkosh has something for us. So let's go there. Hi, Burns. Thanks for calling.
Fine, Larry. I certainly enjoy your show and all the various aspects you have on it.
Thank you.
I was sort of surprised at your guest here, and maybe they haven't had a chance, but there are programs throughout the United States by the name of Learning in Retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And each one is different. Nobody has any particular style other than the fact that a group of people get together. And the universities, in this case Wisconsin, has sponsored some of these.
Mm-hmm.
And give you a little hands up or help with secretarial and guidance work. But it's generally you just say, hey, I'd like to learn a little about this, but the classes don't necessarily have to be serious classes.
Right.
The ones that we have here in Oshkosh, we have no test or anything like that. You go, and we have a variety of subjects over the last. We started in 97, and we've now given over 500, maybe 700 courses. None of which are the same.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The volunteers and the members produce their own courses, and you name it, and we've covered the waterfront. But it does get you out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
It, for those people who are not satisfied and they'd like to keep learning, it's a wonderful activity.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And there are other, just to go along with what you said, right. Burns, there are other, there are times or places at UW-Madison, for example, where if you can sit in on courses that are, you know, just regular courses.
You can audit them. And,
you can audit them.
And people who went to the UW or are staff retired from the UW have access to different programs through the extension. And
mm-hmm.
then Plato groups are great because what Burns is talking about is one of the real pleasures
Definitely.
Of retirement is
yeah.
that you don't stop growing because
no.
you're retired. This is a chance to grow more in ways that you're self-directing rather than your life coming down on you and saying, well, you have to learn this part for your job and whatnot. So this is time to just revel in what do you want to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Burns, that's great. Thank you. So, and you guys are quite familiar with learning in retirement.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again for calling. Appreciate it. I want to give Dave and Madison a chance to join us. Dave, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, Larry. You know, I have a neighbor who got a new doormat once he retired. Actually, I think somebody gave it to his wife because it said retirement, and there's a picture of a woman, and it says, now I've got half the house and twice the husband. So I think the kind of the humor of that belies the seriousness of, you know, how do couples get along after retirement?
Or maybe the question is, don't get along.
Yeah,
I'm not
don't
sure.
get along, yeah. What about that?
Well, I should have told my sister I was going to tell this story. But years ago when her husband retired and she had raised the kids and been at home most of the time, he came home and he's lucky he's alive today because I think she could have killed him. Suddenly he became an expert on the housework. And, you know, that just doesn't sit real well. It's a really big adjustment.
Big issue.
For couples to be around each other 24/7, that can be really disorienting to have them there all the time.
I have heard that. Someone else had that very similar experience with the husband coming home and nowadays deciding that my new job is to figure out how my wife can do things better.
Right. Yeah, you're putting your life in danger at that point.
And Larry, you know what? It makes sense. We spend a third of our life at work, and we go out the door and we talk to other people,
mm-hmm. and we have relationships with them. And then we come home, and we're probably only awake maybe 2 or 3 hours with the partner or spouse.
Yeah.
So that works. Now you've got the 24-hour thing. Yeah. Why do we expect that's going to work, like, as magic?
Yeah.
That all of a sudden the only person you're speaking to is the spouse and partner? You've got to get out of that door. Buy a dog.
So that's one thing. I mean, you need to get out, but you need to sit out and
talk about it.
You need to talk about it. And I'm not quite sure what it is that people expect retirement to be something you just know how to do.
Right.
It's
like having a baby. Nobody gave you the instruction manual.
Yeah, it's a huge life change. And it's right up there with all the other things that the psychologists and psychiatrists now talk about, major life changes like getting married or having a child or a death in the family. Retirement is among that list mm-hmm. of huge changes in your life. You don't know how to do this automatically. You got to talk about it. And it's quite logical that there are things that you should do to begin with. Like in that first rocky year, you know, do something, set up something that you have, something in your week to do. You don't have to do it forever, like Mary Helen says, mm-hmm. but just get yourself started on a new schedule and find out what you want to do.
We have Art in Madison sent an email in that he read about a soon-to-be retiree who referred to it as rewirement.
Okay.
Rewirement. Okay. Art said he thinks this is a helpful way to look at it. People have to adjust and rewire their minds
mm-hmm.
and understand that it takes time. It's an opportunity to be creative, and the results can be surprising.
Absolutely.
But many people are uncomfortable when presented with this opportunity.
Well, and if we think about it, even in a job, if you get a new job today, there's a learning curve at least 3 months, you know,
yeah.
maybe 6 months, of just trying to figure out where the water cooler is in the washroom and all that. And so we need to, I really like the idea of rewiring. It allows you to be creative and think, okay, how do I do this new job called retirement? What do I need in there? What tools do I need? What people do I need help from? And if we think of it like his rewirement, it's a healthier one than thinking it's going to be the bliss that Carol mentioned earlier. That switch on to bliss. Well,
and if you go into studies, it's actually the word is almost literal, because your brain is starting to rewire mm-hmm. because you get these sort of ruts burned mm-hmm. into your brain about the way you do things. Well, you're not doing things that way anymore. You need to reconfigure your brain.
I think it's kind of scary too, though. I mean,
oh,
retirement.
Yeah.
I mean, people's I can't wait, but it's a scary. Mm-hmm. thing, because it's such a change.
Well, Mary Helen talked about some of the statistics about suicide in
depression.
It's in depression. I mean, here's a scary statistic. 40% of people who in the first year of retirement will suffer from depression. 50% in the second year.
Oh.
Those are incredible numbers. And it is scary. People talk about panic attacks. You know, you've had an alarm clock go off every morning for 40 years, and you wake up. Maybe you overslept to 8 o'clock. Your heart starts racing. My alarm didn't go off. I'm going to be late for work. That's a very common thing that happens. Sleep disorders, your sleep patterns change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all these things that are going on that people don't warn you about. And we talk a lot about that on RetireeRebels.com, because it's the stuff people haven't mentioned before because they're so caught up in this idea of carefree bliss.
I was thinking back to my mentor, Maury White, who was the radio broadcaster here at WHA Radio back a long time ago, but I sort of replaced him in a way. And he told me, and he was in his 80s at the time, he told me that he still occasionally had the dream about he was somewhere else and realized he was supposed to be on the radio.
Oh, and the panic attacks.
And the panic, yeah. You just wake up like, oh, it was a nightmare almost.
Yeah, that's something that we hear a lot from new retirees.
You know what, Larry, and that's one of the reasons Carol and I have done this. We talk about the issues, but we want to give listeners to either iTunes or on our website some real strategies for getting through this, to how to reinvent your life, how to ask the questions of each other, how to get past the loneliness. There's 7 tips on how to make a new friend after 50.
So it's not just the whole negative of retirement, because
no.
Carol and I also have to say, we've had a blast at this. Larry, this has been fun.
Well, you know, Terry and Emerald has, you know, I think a great comment right at this point in our conversation. Terry, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I may have missed a little bit of what you were talking about, but I am getting pretty close to retirement. I can almost smell it. And up to this point, I've been excited about it. And then when I visualize it myself, not having the schedule and not being part of the group and the, I guess I feel like I'm going to miss out on something. And I'm wondering what I can do now to kind of prepare myself for that shock.
Mm. Terry, you are doing the exact right thing. You are asking the question that nobody asks.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It's like, what do I do after that day? And there's a lot of things that you can do. One is asking the questions. And the other thing is there's workshops and there's books and resources and whatnot in addition to what we do. But to ask those questions about what's going to make you happy, what is it that you want to do, and how do you make up for that big gap in your social world that you talk about, you know, you're missing out on something. You know, what is it that you would like to do? Answer those questions. Mary Helen, you're better at this.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think play at retirement.
Huh.
You know, the next time you do have a day off of work, play at being retired. You know, maybe you know, the old coffee shop is the big deal anymore.
Right.
But give yourself $5 and say, I'm going to take $5 and investigate my town today. How do you do that? Practice at doing new things that you may never have had time to do before. But give yourself the opportunity to be creative in your own life now, so that when that final day is, you can go, oh, okay, it's not scary to be creative again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
I'm wondering if people who are getting nearer to that retirement, do they start, I mean, I guess, or people who are already retired, do they call you right away, find out that they're, you know, you're retired, why don't you come and join our group, or do, you know, whatever.
Oh, no.
No.
Remember
no,
your mother saying, do you remember your mother saying, do you expect your best friend to come to the door and ring the doorbell and say, come on, play with me? It's not going to happen.
You've got to do
gotta
it,
walk
I'm afraid.
Out the door. You've got to walk out the door.
Yeah. Well, certainly your podcasts would be obviously,
oh, yeah.
they're made for people just like Terry.
Absolutely.
Yes. And, you know, there's the questions that Mary Helen poses and the idea that, you know, what is it that you really want to do? And I had a hard time with that question because nobody had ever asked me what I wanted to do before. They always told me what they wanted me to do for them, you know, whether it was work or family and taking care of other people. But now's the time to really explore that and get ready for that day. And what do you want to do? I have a very good friend who started taking guitar lessons. She's 2 years away from retirement. She had married a musician, but hadn't played herself for 3 decades. And she's taking guitar lessons, and now they're doing gigs on Saturday nights at the local cafe. And she calls this her rehearsal for retirement because this is what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, out of time. And again, how do we get to your blog?
RetireeRebels.com. Retiree Rebels, one word. And it's a website, and you just look at the topics and figure out what you want to listen to and just click on it. I like to call it radio on the web.
And we're also on iTunes under Retiree Rebels.
And there's a Facebook page, Retiree Rebels Facebook page, and you can go on there and join in the discussion and with suggestions. And we love to hear suggestions from people about what to do in retirement and advice that they've had.
Somebody else said retirement. I call it refirement.
Right.
There you go.
another way to look at it. Well, this has been, I hope you'll come back and be with us again. It'd be fun to do this again.
Larry, this has been a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And suffer through your time in Hawaii.
I'll tell you, the sun has finally come up.
Well, good. And Carol, thanks. It was great to see you again. Thank you so much.
Nice to see you, Larry.
Carol Larson and Mary Helen Conroy, who have created this really cool thing called Retiree Rebels. And we have links to all of it on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I have a friend who was just talking the other day about he was going to see Europe, and they were planning he and his wife a trip in Wisconsin to see the Europe in Wisconsin. So Rome, Wisconsin, and they're looking up all of these Brussels. There are all these communities with European names, and they're just going to go around and visit them all.
Belgium.
There's a whole bunch. Anyway, that's a cool idea. And I tell you what, to do that, you might want to pay a little attention to Our Wisconsin magazine. And we're going to be talking with Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin magazine, coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.